Welcome to Reading Deadly Troubadours, the weekly podcast where I, Brent Thomas, read my novel, Deadly Troubadours. Let's begin, shall we?
Chapter 20, Trist, the Return. The journey to Coaltown had been rather unpleasant. Not only had the seas been rough, but they had to journey with the knowledge that an encounter with a dragon loomed upon arrival. The return journey, back to the summer harbors of Trist, was a veritable pleasure cruise. The waves were calm and gentle, providing a pleasant rocking that aided in sleep to all but Kestra. To her, the boat was as unpleasant as always. The only improvement was that this voyage held was that the warm weather was more comfortable than the pouring rain on the previous trip to retch over the side of the boat in. The rest of the troubadours did their best to avoid her, and to not look too joyous at their situation as she suffered with seasickness. They arrived and went straight away to the Salted Butterfly, a cafe famous for its concoction of ginger, apples, whiskey, and other assorted elements that were known for its ability to soothe a wrecked stomach. They knew that Kestra would need at least an hour to return to full strength and good cheer. It was better to wait with her rather than delay the process by making her keep up with them. As they waited, it was decided that Demetrius would seek out members of the Order and call for a meet. "And Demetrius," Talbot called as the slight trickster was preparing to depart. "Leave your pack." "What?" "Your pack. With its contents. Leave it. We can't have you showing around what we have until the time is right." Demetrius gave his best impish smile, which is what happened when he tried to look innocent. "Of course, Talbert, but wouldn't dream of spreading the good news." The truth was, he had already begun counting how many free drinks he would likely receive by showing the egg around as he leisurely searched for someone who could call a meet. Reluctantly, he took off the pack and placed it on the table in front of Talbert, Alexander, and the still-green Kestra. "I guess I'll be back within the hour." "Don't hurry on my account," Kestra half-groaned as Demetrius scampered off. It felt good to be back in the city. There was a life and an urgency to how the people moved that Coaltown lacked. There, it seemed, the people were practically glued to where they stood, and that each step took a precious act of will. Here, the steps were hurried and purposeful. The city had its own rhythm, and the people lived lives that required effort. They could not afford to merely ooze along their way, knowing that whatever was out there would be waiting for them. If one did not move quickly in Trist, then they could miss out. The pace made him smile. It felt as if something new was around each corner. After only a few days in Coaltown, the motions of Trist seemed even faster than usual. He also appreciated another difference between the two cities. Coaltown had seemed to be almost entirely populated of dirty, soot-covered men, most of whom smelled. While smelly, dirty men could also be found in strong supply in Trist, it also had a large population of women, about whom Demetrius, when he was feeling polite, merely thought of as desirable. He realized that he had not only missed the pulse of the city, but also the many shades of gorgeous women that could be found walking its streets. With those thoughts in mind, he knew where he should go to spread the word that a meet of the Order of Free Thinkers was called for. Florid Arts was known for two things. The first was for its imitation plant life. Delicate sewn cloths and folded paper formed elaborate flowers, vines, and trees. All could be painted and embossed to reflect the desires of the customers. Florid Arts had created the freezing and fire forests of Archduke Buckley, whose sculpted plants appeared to be made out of living fire and perpetual ice, and had amazed the rarefied guests who had been allowed the privilege of seeing it. They had also been commissioned to create the Forest of Giants for the public square last festival. Such was the perfection of scale that all who entered felt transformed into 30-foot behemoths in the middle of a lush forest. Florid Arts was well known and well sought after by the foremost members of Tristian society. This was their public talent. The secret talent, and what made them honorable members of the Free Thinkers, was that they were also one of the most prominent pornographers in Trist. They, of course, would never refer to themselves as such, and the case could be made in their favor. none of their works was of the explicit nature that other workshops strove for. Florid Arts did not depict the moment of passion itself, or any of the sticky moments that surrounded it. It prided itself on tasteful imagery of the human body in all its glory. It made nudes that you swore were not on canvas, but right in front of you. That alone, while much appreciated by many of the freethinkers, was not enough to see them admitted. It was the several occasions when those influential individuals had spoken ill of matters close to the hearts of the order, Florid Arts had taken the time and effort to remind said individuals that beneath their fancy robes, they were merely bits of flesh. When that same Archduke Buckley had suggested the poor be shipped out of Trist for being an eyesore, within a week a 40-foot likeness had been assembled on the northern tower. It took 2 days to take down the painting, which was hung as interlocking squares of fabric from the tower. The likeness was said to be uncanny, small bits and all. The work crew responsible for taking it down, working poor themselves, had to leave his face and balls for last due to unexplained safety concerns. Buckley did not like being red-faced and bare-assed in public and vowed to put whoever was responsible in the stocks. He did not, and his relocation plans were also not seen through. That was Demetrius's destination. He was not an art lover, per se, but he did appreciate that the maintainers of Florid Arts often used models for their paintings. The models for their works of art were also things of beauty. When he arrived at the shop, he was shown to the private studio. He was disappointed to find the beautiful person serving as a model was of the male persuasion. No ladies today, Vanessa, he asked the little gray-haired lady applying paint to canvas. You see any ladies here, Tate? Horny little bastard. That's not it. I just prefer the artistic contours of the female form is all. Contours bullshit. Tits is what you mean. I swear that I don't know another soul as interested in boobies as you are. He blushed. Well, it's just, I mean, eloquent as ever, I see. Wait a minute. She took her eyes off the painting. I heard you was supposed to be dead. Dead? As good as, anyway. Something about a dragon? Oh, that. He tried to look nonchalantly at his nails. I'd forgotten all about that. Been laying low, huh? Don't blame you lot for that. Everyone said it was a damn foolish thing to let happen. Too much drink all around. Everyone reckons there can just be an atonement and all can forget about the dragon business. For a moment, he wanted to be upset. They had rushed off and risked their lives, and it turns out they could have been offered an atonement for breaking their vow? They had never considered that it would be a possibility, as it usually wasn't for challenges never undertaken, only for challenges failed. But instead of getting crossed, he merely smiled. No need, my dear lady. In fact, my true purpose here is to ask you to call for a meet at the Stone Prince. Are you saying... I am saying that the deadly troubadours have returned victorious with dragon egg in hand. We need the free thinkers called together so all can bask in our glory and drink to our good health. The little wizened woman came around from her easel with a twinkle in her eye, gave Demetrius a kiss on the cheek, and clasped his hands in her own. Years of artistry had given her a surprising strength. Congratulations, you little bastard. You do indeed lead a charmed life.
That's all for this week. Thanks for listening. Deadly Troubadours is now available as an ebook from Smashwords.com, Amazon.com, and Apple's online store. If you want to know more about me, Brent Thomas, you can visit my website at DeadlyTroubadour.com. You can also like me on Facebook by searching for the page Deadly Troubadours. This podcast is available on iTunes, so if you have a moment, please rate and review the show. While you are there, why not check out my other podcasts, Comics League International and Living Japan. If you want to contact me, email me at deadlytroubadour@gmail.com or follow me on Twitter at deadtroubadour. Once again, thanks for listening. If you are enjoying the book, please share it with your friends. And please tune in next week for the continuing adventures of the Deadly Troubadours.